It says in the Pasuk, in Parshas Bahar, the Pasuk talks about selling and redeeming fields or houses. So the Pasuk says, a person who will sell a house that dwells in a walled city, he can redeem it till the end of the year of his sale. 1 year is his redemption period. If he will not redeem it until a full year is over, then the house that is in the city that has a wall should remain, it should remain for eternity, like for the one that purchased it, for all generations, it should not even go out on Yovel. Now, this is one of the psukim that where we find the pasuk is actually written. The way it's written is that the house asher ba'ir asher loy chayma, the house that is in the city that does it really. The way it's written is that it does not have a wall, but we read it asher loy chayma. We read it that with a vav, instead of asher loy chayma with an aleph, we read it loy chayma with a vav to say that it does have a wall. So if that's the case, why is it written with an aleph? So Rashi tells us that even though it doesn't have a wall now, if it once had a wall, it's considered as if it has a wall now, and it has if it had a wall in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, it's as if it still has a wall, and it has all of the halachas of a walled city. Now, every word in the Torah is eternal, and it's relevant to every person at all times. And we need to know how this whole parasha, which seems to be irrelevant nowadays, how is it relevant to us? As I mentioned before, this week is the week of Parshas Bahar. It was the week of Melchamas Amalek. Chav Gimel Ir was the day that Amalek attacked us. Rashi mentions on the word Asher Korcha. It says in the pasuk Zochras Asher Oso Lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you Baderech Betzeischem in Mitzrayim, on the way when you left Mitzrayim. Asher Korcha Baderech. Was karcha along the way. What does karcha mean? Rashi has three pshatim. Number one is, he happened upon you, a lashon of mikra, which means happening. The second pshat says, Rashi, it's a lashon of kridus, a lashon of coldness, he cooled you off. And the third pshat, Rashi says, asher karcha is a lashon of keri, a lashon of tumah. So, we need to know how these three pshatim relate to us as we battle our inner Amalek. Asher Korcha, that he happened upon us, that he cooled us off, and that he contaminated us. In the Pasuk, in Parshas B'Shalach, when it talks about Melchamas Amalek, it says that Yidei Moshe were kevedim, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were heavy, he couldn't hold them up, so Aharon and Chur ascended to the mountain, and they supported his hands, mizeh echad and mizeh echad, one on each side. And that way, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were suspended until the sun set. Now, we need to understand why the pasuk needs to mention mizeh echad and mizeh echad. Once the pasuk says that Aharon and Chur tamchu biyadav, that Aharon and Chur supported Moshe's hands, we understand that there was one on each side. Why does the pasuk have to say mizeh echad, mizeh echad? One on one side, one on the other side. Motzei Shabbos Parshas Bahar was the 36th day of the Omer. And as I mentioned before, every day of the Omer has its unique message to prepare us for Kabbalah Satoja. So we need to know what is the message of day 36. The Midah associated with day 36 is Chesed Shebi Yasoid, kindness within foundation. So we need to know what that means and how it relates to our Avodah. So, I think we can understand this based on what is very well known from the Svarim HaKadoshim, that the Midah of Yesoid, the Midah that we call foundation, is the concept of Kedusha, concept of sanctity, the Kedusha of a Yid. The Kedusha of a Yid, the sanctity of a Yid, is the foundation of a Yid. Sanctity mainly meaning the sanctity of the Bris Kodesh, meaning that a Yid needs to see to it that their mind should be clean, that the person shouldn't have inappropriate thoughts. When such thoughts come into our mind, that we should push them away immediately, and that we shouldn't look at things that are inappropriate, and we obviously shouldn't act in an inappropriate manner, in a impure manner. Sanctity, kedusha, holiness, is the yesoid of a Yid. That's the foundation of a Yid. And yesoid is the foundation of all of the midas. So if a person's sanctity is intact, if a person's yesoid is intact, if a person is careful not to violate their kedusha, then the rest of their midas have a firm foundation to stand on. But if a person's sanctity is violated, then the entire foundation is shaky. And then their chesed is not intact, and their gevurah is not intact, and their tiferes is not. It affects everything. It's just like a house that is built on a broken foundation, that the whole house is in danger of collapsing. Same applies when one's kedusha, when the sanctity of a yid is violated or compromised, that puts all the person's midas into jeopardy. This is something that we find in the Svarim HaKadosh. Now we know that the midah of chesed is the midah of ahava. It's the attribute of love. Now there are three types of love that are natural to a yid. And those three loves are Ahavas Hashem, the love of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The love of the Rabbeinu Shalom is natural to a Yid. That's how the Rambam explains how can there possibly be a mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem Alekecha. How can there be a mitzvah, love Hashem your God? How can you command a person to love something? The person either loves it or he doesn't. So the Rambam explains that every Yid has a natural love to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So why don't some Yidin feel it? It's because it's their Kedusha has been compromised. Their Yesoid, upon which their Midah stand, that Yesoid has been compromised. The person's kedusha has been violated. As a result, the chesed is, their chesed is wobbly as well. It doesn't have a foundation to stand on. The second type of love that is natural to a yid is ahavas Yisrael, is the love to another yid. The pasuk commands us, v'ahavta l'reyacha kamaycha, love your fellow like yourself. Once again, how can you command a person to love They either love or they don't. The answer is, it's natural. If a person's yesoid would be solid, then the person would have a natural love to another yid. The fact that the person doesn't have a natural love to another yid, that's an indicator that their yesoid is compromised. The third love that is natural to a yid is ahavas Torah, the love of Torah. And once again, the love of Torah is natural to a yid whose yesoid is intact. If the person doesn't feel the ahavas Torah, if the person doesn't feel the love for Torah, that means that the person's sanctity has been compromised. That the person allowed their sanctity to be compromised. And that's what the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yisroel, v'oreisa, v'kutcha b'richo chad. Yisroel, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, meaning that the love to these three are all one. The love to the Torah, the Klal Yisroel, to the Rabbeinu Shalom are all one. And if the Kedusha of a Yid would be intact, then those three loves would be intact as well. Because the Chesed stands upon the Yesoid, as do all the Middos. And Chesed Shebi Yesoid, when we talk about the Middos of Chesed Shebi Yesoid, the focus is the Chesed that is dependent upon the Yesoid. The Ahavas Hashem, the Ahavas Yisrael, the Ahavas Torah, that are dependent upon the Yesoid. And when a person realizes that they don't feel the Ahavas Hashem, or the Ahavas Yisroel, or the Ahavas Torah, the person needs to track it, that perhaps there might be a crack in their foundation. Perhaps their Kedusha has been compromised. One second, please. So, now, in Parshas Vayeshev, when the Malach meets Yosef, and he asks Yosef, "Matavakesh, what are you looking for?" And Yosef says, "I'm looking for my brothers." The Malach answers, "Nosumizeh." They have traveled from this. Rashi says, Nosum Izeh means Nosum in Ha'achva. They have deserted the brotherhood. Zeh, says Rashi, is a reference to love, to brotherhood. So, according to what we're saying, there are three Zehs that every Yid needs to have. There is the Zeh of Ahavas Hashem, the Zeh of Ahavas Yisroel, and the Zeh of Ahavas Torah. Three times Zeh, the gematria of Zeh is 12. Three times Zeh is 36. So the midah of day 36 is Chesed Shebi Yisoid. It's the love, these three loves that we need to have, Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Yisroel, and Ahavas Torah, that are dependent on our Yesoid. If our foundation is solid, if our Kedusha is solid, then these three loves will automatically be part of the life of a Yid, because they're natural to a Yid. So the day of Chesed Shebi Yesoid is day 36, three times Zeh. Now, the power of evil in the world that counters this is Amalek. Amalek battles the concept of Yesoid. Rashi tells us over there in the Parsha that Amalek made fun of the mitzvah of Milah, which represents the mitzvah of Yesoid. And as a result of Amalek attacking the Yesod, and we have our inner Amalek, that's what our inner Amalek attacks as well. Our inner Amalek, in order to compromise all of the Midas at once, Amalek attacks our Yesod, he attacks our Kedusha. He attacks our Kedusha by having us look at things we shouldn't be looking at, by thinking of things we shouldn't be looking at, but think we shouldn't be thinking about. And as a result, he compromises the natural love that we should, that each and every one of us has as Yidden. And that's why that is the three Ashikorchas. The Ashikorcha, says Rashi, is Lashon Mikra. It's as if the Rebbeinu Shlom has deserted us to happenstance, to coincidence. That we should be lacking the love of a Rebbeinu Shlom who looks after us in every aspect of our lives. Amalek denies Ashgacha Pratis, he denies divine providence because of Mikra. He wants us to believe that we're left to happenstance. That is how he diminishes our Ahavas Hashem. And then there's the Ashikorcha of Kridus. He cools us off from being warm to one another. Taking away the love that each and every one of us has, the natural love that we have to each other, that there should be a coldness instead of a warmth. And then Ashikorcha, he contaminates us, that we shouldn't be able to relate to our love to the Torah HaKadosh. A lashon keri v'tumah, which really represents the attack against the Midas HaYisoid. So in order to be able to overcome Amalek, we needed Moshe, Aharon, and Chur. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Ahavas Torah. He represents the love of Torah. He was the intermediary between the Rebbeinu Shlom and ourselves to give us the Torah Akdoshe. Aharon HaKoyen represents Ahavas Yisrael. Oyev Shalom, V'roidev Shalom, Oyev Esabriyo, is Mekavim LaTorah. Aharon HaKoyen is the role model of Ahavas Yisrael. And Chur represents Ahavas Hashem. Chur sacrificed his life for the sake of Ahavas Hashem. The Klal Yisrael shouldn't worship the eagle. So these three, Moshe, Aharon, and Chur, were there to restore the love, to restore the natural love that Amalek was trying to take away from us by attacking our Yisoid. Now Amalek attacked us, as we mentioned earlier, because Rafu Yadehem in HaTorah, because we loosened our hands from the Torah. The hands represent the concept of love, as we mentioned before, the hand is there to embrace the Rebbeinu Shlom, to embrace the another Yid, to embrace the Torah Akdasha. So even though the Yidin perhaps maintain their Ahavas Torah, but the Rafu Yudeim and HaTorah, the other types of love, the Ahavas Hashem, the Ahavas Yisrael, was loosened from the Torah. So Aharon and Chur, specifically Aharon and Chur, had to come and support Moshe's Yodayim to restore the oneness and the love that Klal Yisrael should have, Ahavas Hashem and Ahavas Yisrael, in addition to Ahavas Torah. And that's why the Pasuk says, Mizeh Echad and Mizeh Echad. They came to restore the Achdus, the oneness of the Zeh, of Ahavas Aharon doing so for Ahavas Yisrael, and Hur doing so for Ahavas Hashem. And by the three of them together, Moshe, Aharon, and Hur, they were able to overcome Amalek and to restore the love of the restore the chesed, the love that Klal Yisrael has naturally to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to Klal Yisrael and to the Torah Kedesh. Now the reason why Zeh represents unity is because one can only use the word Zeh when he's pointing to one thing. When a person is pointing to a multiple of things, they would use the word Ela, which means these. Zeh means this. Ela means these. Ela is also Gematria 36. Because it's the other side of Zeh. It's the side of the Klippa that counters the three times Zeh. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, Klal Yisrael lost the Ahavas Torah. And they said, Ki Zeh Moshe Ha'ish Lo Yadana Mehoyaloi. This, the Zeh of Moshe, we don't have. And as a result, they ended up saying, Eila Eloyecha Yisrael. Instead of Zeh, it became Eila. And as a result, Hur suffered, and Aharon suffered. Once again, all three Zehs fell apart. And instead it became Eila. I'd like to suggest that these three loves that a Yid is supposed to have, that a Yid has naturally, if their Yisoid would be intact, is represented by the word bias. The Beis represents Bnei Yisrael, Ahavas Yisrael. The Yud represents Hashem. And the Tov represents Torah. A bias, a house, can only be built on a Yisoid, can only be built on a foundation. If the Yisoid, if the Kedusha of a Yid is intact, then there's a solid foundation upon which to build a bias, upon which to build a house. But if the Yisoid is cracked, if the Yisoid is compromised, then the entire bias is in jeopardy. And the person doesn't feel these natural loves that a Yid is supposed to feel. Now, Yisoid, foundation, Kedusha, is dependent, as Rashi tells us in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, Kol Mokam Shata Moitze Geder Erva Ata Moitze Kedusha. Wherever a person makes fences to deter themselves or to protect themselves from Erva, that's where you find Kedusha. In order for a person to maintain their Kedusha, in order for a person to ensure that their foundation remains solid, it is necessary for a person to put up walls. We need to put up fences, filters. Each and every person knows themselves, and they know their vulnerabilities when it comes to the areas of Kedusha. And we need to see to it to put the appropriate guards in place so that we shouldn't falter. Now, I'd like to suggest that in the word neshama lies the entire image, the entire kaima of a person. The neshama has within it the 10 spheres, which begin with keser. Keser is it means the crown, which is above the head. It represents a person's emunah, a person's will, ratzon, will is something that transcends intellect. A person can't describe why they want something. Rotzayin is above intellect. It's represented by Keser. It's represented by the Nun of Neshama. It's the 50th gate that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't grasp. It's something that is beyond the intellect of the human being. It's the 50th gate. That's the Nun. The Shin represents Seichel, represents the intellect, which is Chachma Bina, wisdom and understanding. The Mem represents the Midas, the person's character traits, which is Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, and Yesoid, as represented by the Mem. And as mentioned before, Yesoid is the foundation of all the Midas. And if the Yesoid is compromised, all the Midas are in jeopardy. And then finally, the Hey represents Malchus, as is written in all this forum, that the last Hey of Hashem's name represents Malchus. So the word Neshama encompasses the entire Yid. The Nun, once again, representing Rotzayin, Keser, the Shin, Seichel, Mem, Midas, and Hey is Malchus. If a person's Gesoid is compromised, a person's kedusha is compromised, all of the middos are compromised. And which causes that the mem should be missing from neshama. And what's left when you take out the mem is shona. Now we can look into the pasuk and understand the depth of what this pasuk is telling us. The ish ki yimkor beis moishav ir chayma. If a person will sell their bias, which is their love for Bnei Yisrael, for Hashem, and for the Torah, which should have been surrounded by a chayma, should have been surrounded by a wall. Says the pasuk of Ahoisag Ulasai, the person should see to it to redeem it, which would be by doing tshuva. Ad toim shnas mimkorei, until he should see to it that what is now their shana, used to be their neshama, now it's their shana, he needs to make it whole again. Ad toim shnas mimkorei, this shana that they sold, they need to make it whole again. Ve'im lo yigoel, says the pasuk of Nebuch, the person won't redeem it, if the person won't do tshuva. Ad melois loy shana tamima, he won't fill their shana to make it tamima, to make it a neshama again. Then chas v'sholem v'koma bayis asher ba'ir asher loy chayma. Then this bias, their love to Bnei Yisrael, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to the Torah, that should have been surrounded by a wall, and the pasuk says loy with an aleph, because really it wasn't surrounded by a wall. Had it been surrounded by a wall, he wouldn't have sold it. But it's telling us that it once had a wall, and there's potential for there to be a wall. But if chas v'shalom, the person doesn't fill it to make it whole again, to make their shana tamima, to make their shana into a neshama, then chas v'shalom will remain latzmisus lakayno isa ledoyroisav. It will chas v'shalom remain for eternity, for to the Yetzahara, who has acquired it, not just for himself, it will affect all future generations. We have to see to it to be misaken the yesoid, by making sure that our ir is a ir asher loy chayme with a vav, and it has a wall. We shouldn't sell our neshamas and the neshamas of our generations to our yetzahara for eternity, chas v'shalom. We have to see to it that our three zehs are intact, and the only way they can be intact is by seeing to it that our yesoid is intact. That's the message of day 36. A message, an eternal message. To be misakin chesed should be aside. So the Eibusha help him, that we should be zoiche to protect ourselves with the appropriate chaymas, and in that schus will be zoiche to tivne chaymas Yerushalayim, that Rabbi Shalom will rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, and will be zoiche in the schus of building our bias, our love for Bnei Yisrael, for the Rabbi Shalom, and for the Torah, that the Rabbi Shalom will build his bias hashlishi. B'vias Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehira b'yameinu amein.